You shot yourself through the hand and him through both his legs.
Friendly fire wounds their friendship.
I asked him if the weapon had a round in the chamber. He said no.
Who left the bullet in the chamber?
The gun was not loaded.
And now Judy's firing back.
All three guns were in the cab of the car.
I didn't know they were going to be in the vehicle when he came to pick me up.
The reason you don't have a gun in the cab of a car is somebody's going to get hurt.
Judge Judy.
You do the wrong thing. That's what happens.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Michael Beauchamp is suing his former friend, 22-year-old Derek Dial, for accidentally shooting him in the legs and for causing his guns to be confiscated.
Order. All rise.
Yes, case number 366 on the calendar, the matter of Beauchamp versus Dial. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Mr. Beauchamp, the defendant was a friend of yours who, according to you, shot himself with one of your guns. He also shot you with one of your guns.
Correct.
And when all this was ferreted out by the police, they took away the rest of your guns, which happened to have been, according to you, in your car.
Correct.
You want Mr. Dial to compensate you for the loss of all your guns and for the medical bills that you had as a result of being shot by him. Mr. Dial says the gun should not have been loaded.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you actually both expect me to get excited about this case?
No, Your Honor.
What kind of guns, Mr. Beauchamp, did you have in your car?
I had three. One was a Star. And the other two are Glocks.
What is that?
It's a brand.
Is it a little gun? Is it a big...
They're handguns.
Handguns?
Pistols.
Does anybody ask you what you need with three handguns?
Not necessarily. I like to shoot recreationally.
Do you need a permit to carry the guns outside of your house?
If you carry it on your person, yes. If it's being transported in your car, no, provided that it's in the trunk.
So if the guns are in the trunk of your car, it's okay?
Correct.
So if you take the guns out of the trunk and hold them while you're walking to your house, that's not permitted.
That would be allowed. You'd be going to your place of residence.
Well, on what day did you lose possession of your guns?
July the 23rd.
And what were they doing in the trunk?
I'd been shooting earlier that day. Two of them I had just purchased. They were still in the trunk. The one
you
that
you had been shooting. Just a second. You had been shooting earlier that day, but according to your papers, two of the guns had never been shot, so I assume
correct.
You were only shooting one of the guns.
That is true.
So why were the other two in your trunk?
I hadn't taken them inside. I still had them. I was going to shoot them, but I didn't. I was at shooting range.
Well, that doesn't make sense. Why in the world would you carry these two guns in the trunk and go to a target range and not try them out? That doesn't make sense to me.
I was just focusing on the other one. I was trying to get it.
It doesn't make sense to me that you purchased them 2 days before and didn't bring them into your house.
They had been. I'd taken them inside, brought them back because I was planning to shoot them. What actually happened is I ran out of time and I hadn't shot them before I left.
Why do you say truthfully? Did you?
It's a semantic. It's a detail. I didn't have time to shoot them before I left.
Left to go where?
To go back home. Ended up going to pick up Derek instead of going home, which is why those two were still in, which is why all of them were still in the trunk.
Mm-hmm. But you intended to shoot them?
Yes.
But you only shot the old one?
Correct.
The one that you were planning on selling to Derek?
Correct.
Now tell me how you shot yourself.
Your Honor, the weapons were not located in the trunk.
Where were they?
All three were located in the vehicle.
Where in the vehicle?
The .45 caliber handgun was located in the passenger door panel beside my right leg. The Glock 7mm was located in the console, along with its ammunition. And the other weapon, I can't be sure exactly what it was located in the back seat, Your Honor. I was handling...
Just a second. Was it just the two of you in the car?
No, Your Honor. There were
who
three of us.
Who else was there?
My witness.
It's right there, Your Honor.
She was in the back seat.
You don't want to tell me anything that's not true.
No, ma'am.
Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Who do you live with?
I live with my husband.
Your last name is?
Smith.
What does your husband do?
He works at an ad agency downtown Wichita.
What do you do?
I'm just a mom.
What were you doing in a car with all these guns?
We had just planned on going out that night
They Who were planned on going out that night?
Us three.
Where was your husband?
At home.
Where were you going?
Out to a bar.
What kind of guns were they? Look at me.
Handguns. I'm not particularly sure of the brands because they're not mine.
Where did you see them in the car?
I didn't see them until Derek was handling them.
Where did he get them from?
The trunk. Right when we picked him up, we got out of the car, went to the trunk, which is where they were, and we got them out.
How many did you get out?
Three.
Where were they placed?
After that point, I'm not sure because I was in the back.
But all three guns were in the cab of the car?
I believe so.
Thank you. Sit. That's not where they're supposed to be, Mr. Beauchamp. They're supposed to be in the trunk or in your house, right?
This is true.
All right, so that takes care of at least one part of your lawsuit, which is you want him to compensate you for your guns, which were confiscated by the police. Rightfully so, because they were not where they were supposed to be, correct?
That's not correct. When the police actually did the search of the vehicle when we got to the hospital, they removed the guns from the trunk.
I don't care where they removed them from. They weren't where they were supposed to be.
One gun wasn't. The other two were.
She said all three guns were in the cab of the car, and you may have put them back in the trunk. But the fact that the police didn't find them in the cab of the car doesn't mean they weren't there. They were there. That's what your witness just told me. So you don't get compensated for the lost guns. Leave your guns home. That way, you don't risk anybody getting hurt, right? Because if they were in the trunk, Mr. Beauchamp, where they were supposed to be, you wouldn't have gotten shot, and he wouldn't have gotten shot. Now, the gun that he got shot with was the gun that you had been shooting with at the shooting range that you left quickly because you didn't have time to finish shooting the other two guns, correct?
This is true.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I went to perform a safety function check on it. That's when the weapon discharged.
Well, evidently that wasn't so safe, the safety check that you were doing.
And later today.
You're 18 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to be 19 years old? Don't be a jerk. Do you understand?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Michael Beauchamp says his former friend, Derek Dial, accidentally shot him in both legs. Derek says he was shot too and is countersuing for his medical bills.
Now you may continue, Mr. Dial.
Your Honor, when I talked to Michael briefly before he came to pick me up, which is around 10:30, July 23rd, he says I was trying to buy a weapon from him. We had mentioned it on the telephone, Your Honor. I told him I couldn't afford it. I'm a mechanic. I couldn't afford it, but I didn't know they were going to be in the vehicle when he came to pick me up.
So what did you do touching it?
I noticed they were in the car. It was in the passenger door panel. I did ask if I can have a look at it. I immediately, after he said yes, dropped the ammunition clip out of the weapon, and I asked him if the weapon had a round in the chamber. He said no. I went to perform a safety function check on it by relieving the hammer safety on the weapon to fully down, and then I was going to pull the slide handle and eject what was ever in the chamber. That's when the weapon discharged.
Well, evidently that wasn't so safe, the safety check that you were doing.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you shot yourself through the hand and him through the foot?
No, yes, through both my legs.
Through both his legs?
Yes, Your Honor.
This is true.
Who left the bullet in the chamber?
I did not. The gun was not loaded. When he came
Maybe
to
she
see-
did.
When he came,
maybe she did.
When he came to see me in the hospital the next day, he had said that he had put the magazine back in the gun and was playing with the slide mechanism and the hammer, and he had dropped the hammer too fast.
Where was the magazine?
At that point, I don't know. I was driving. I don't know when it got loaded.
Did you pay for your own medical bills?
I am paying for them now, Your Honor, yes.
That's what you're supposed to do, sir, because when you act like an idiot and fool around with guns, you get shot and you pay your medical bills.
Yes, Your Honor.
So your counterclaim's dismissed. You want him to do what? Pay for your medical bills?
For my medical bills and time off of work.
That's not happening, Mr. Beauchamp.
Your Honor, I have an email from him promising to do exactly that. May I read?
Yeah, you can show it to me.
Promising to pay the bills, any damages, and anything. His wording actually says anything that I just want him to pay.
Dear Mike, what is going to happen? My guilt and shame for what happened. I not only ruined a lovely evening, but possibly trashed your trust in me around weapons and possibly a friendship. They happened to give me the punishment I deserve. When did you write this, sir?
A couple weeks after the incident happened. No one feels worse about it than I do.
However, should you decide to stay my friend, I will be lifelong. As for weapons, I truly do know how to handle them very well and am, from the bottom of my soul, sorry. I will pay for any resulting damage, costs, or anything you wish. For as long as you wish, please take me up on this. I can't heal your legs, but I can pay. I will still buy that weapon from you. How's $400 sound? I want to destroy it and will pay any price to get it. I'm very sorry. Anything I can do. Hope you can get some sleep, my friend. Perhaps one day we can share a stiff drink somewhere. Our guardian angels say hello, and I owe them about eternity worth of drinks. Thanks for reading, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
That leads me to believe, Your Honor, that what he said earlier, how he didn't plan to buy the gun, how he couldn't afford it, he offers in that very letter.
What he's saying to you, he wants to do anything. He feels terrible about what happened, sir. He's really not responsible for what happened, other than for his own stupidity. The reason you don't have a gun in the cab of a car is for just the eventuality that happened, because somebody's going to get hurt. You shouldn't have taken off driving around in the car with that gun in the car. And I believe that all three guns were in the cab of the car, because that's what she said. It's the wrong thing. You're as much at fault as he is. They're your guns. Now, I don't believe you that it wasn't loaded, because that was the only gun that you just shot. And if I believe you, you quickly left the target range because you said you had to go pick up these people. You were in a rush. You get me? Take care of your own bills. Goodbye.
Please excuse me. Step out.
I saw the muzzle flash. My ears were ringing.
It was like a bright white light, and I could hear nothing.
At first, I didn't even know the gun had gone, or that I'd been shot.
Smoke everywhere.
I didn't feel it for a couple minutes.
I remember just feeling a searing sensation through my hand.
I saw a hole in my pants and blood coming out.
It entered right here, bounced off the two bones in my hand, ricocheted out the side.
It went completely through my right leg, and it's still in my left leg.
We have guardian angels working overtime.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Jeffrey versus White step forward.
18-year-old Nicholas Jeffrey is suing his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, 22-year-old Joshua White, for purposely ramming his car. Joshua claims he was fleeing for his safety.
How old are you, Mr. Jeffrey?
18.
And you?
22.
And you?
17.
This used to be your girlfriend, Mr. Jeffrey?
Yes.
And she's your girlfriend now?
Yes.
Mr. Jeffrey, what's her name?
Shauna.
You were working on Shauna's car?
Yes.
And did you think at the time you were working on her car that she was your girlfriend?
Yes.
So you were working on her car, and you finished working on her car or whatever, and you went over to her house?
Yeah, I was working on her car at school, and she told me to come up there to watch a movie with her later and swap cars back because I left my car at her house for the day.
And when you got there, he was there?
Yes.
Ultimately, what happened was your car got damaged.
Yes.
You want Mr. White to pay for the damage to the car.
Yes.
Mr. White says that he was doing nothing but protecting himself because of your behavior. And if your car got damaged, it was your fault. Right?
Correct. Very correct.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He behaved like a what?
An idiot.
Yes.
But I feel that I've
done nothing
wrong.
I don't care what you feel. What you feel is totally, completely irrelevant to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Nicholas Jeffrey claims his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, Joshua White, purposely rammed his vehicle.
Mr. Jeffrey, why don't you tell me what happened when you arrived at Shauna's house and you found Mr. White's car there?
I arrived. I saw a Jeep in the driveway. I said, oh, well, my girlfriend's cheating on me, whatever. And I tried to knock on the door to give her keys back, and she wouldn't answer the door, wouldn't answer the phone calls or texts. So I just waited around outside. I had no intentions of hurting anyone.
Just a second. You waited around outside. Show me where. Go over to that diagram. I see Shauna's house.
I was pacing up and down the sidewalk, talking to a friend on my cell phone, walking up and down the street, just pacing.
How long were you pacing?
I waited around for a while.
Give me an idea.
I was
20 minutes, a half hour, an hour.
I probably paced around for about 30 minutes, and then I went and sat around in my car for 30 minutes or so.
So you were waiting outside for about an hour?
Yeah.
And what were you waiting for, Mr. Jeffrey?
I just wanted to break things off with her, so I didn't have, it's a 30-minute drive to go up to her house from my house. I just wanted to break things off with her and have it done.
Go ahead.
And so I waited around, and when Joshua finally came out,
He jumped on her hood of the car. I was standing somewhere around in the driveway. He jumped on her.
So what you did was you pulled the car that you came in,
yes.
Shauna's car, behind Mr. White's car so that he could not leave.
Yeah, just to be.
There are other words that you could use in a courtroom. Look at me, Mr. Jeffrey.
All right, to be not nice, just to give him a little bit of grief, I guess.
Right. How did you get Shauna's car there and your car? You must have someone drive or follow you.
That morning when I picked her car up, I drove up to Westminster. I met up with her. I left my car right here in the street and took her car back down to Denver for school.
I understand. So you...
And I brought her car back. And my car was right here at the time when I parked her car right there. And I threw the keys on her front doorstep.
So there was no need for you to stay anymore?
I guess not.
Guess not. So you blocked in the defendant's car. And what happened when you blocked in the defendant's car?
I waited around for one of them to come out so I could break things off and leave myself. And when he came out, he came and jumped on her hood of her car and started chasing me down the street. And I was backing down the whole way. I was just like, I'm not going to throw the first punch because I don't want to get an assault charge. I'm not trying to be stupid. I just wanted to see her so I could break things off because it wasn't like I loved her or anything. So I walked back down the street and he chased me all the way to my car was parked down here because I moved it. And then we were almost there. He turned around and went back to his truck and proceeded in trying to get it out of the driveway. And I assumed that he took a lot of turns to try and get it out. And I got in my car and parked it here and
why?
Try and see her or just laugh at him for trying to get his car out.
And?
And I waited there. He got his truck out and positioned it behind my car, as you can see in this picture. And there was probably 6 or 7 feet in between the two. I was by the trunk of my car and he started revving
his
engine.
So you were outside your car?
Yeah.
Keep going.
I was leaning on the trunk, and then he positioned his car behind mine and started revving his engine at me, and, like, I was afraid he was going to try and smash me in between the two or just try and smash my car. So I ran over to his door and opened it, and...
So you ran over to his door and opened it?
Yes.
Why don't you run to your door and leave?
I don't know.
So
it all happened
very fast.
So
you ran over to his door and you opened it?
Yeah, and I said, could you get out of your car, you know?
And you said, could you get out of your car?
I never threatened him, though, so...
You pled guilty, sir.
That's because they were trying to throw more charges on me.
I don't care.
All right.
Then he backed up and he hit your car, right?
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
How much damage was done to your car?
I have an estimate that shows $6,500.
Good, you pay for it. You wanted to talk to her that badly? It's going to cost you $6,500. You behaved like a what?
An idiot.
Yes.
But I feel that I've
done
nothing wrong.
I don't care what you feel. What you feel is totally, completely irrelevant to me. What you did is relevant. You got to a location. You found another man's car in your girlfriend's driveway. You got angry. You blocked his car in. You threw away the keys where he couldn't find them when he came out in order to get her car out. And you're pacing up and down for an hour. Working yourself up. You get into your car that you parked, you say, now a block away, because initially you say it was parked right in front of Shauna's house.
It was.
So you had to have moved it before you blocked her car.
I didn't want my car around so he'd be able to smash it. Or do something to
you
it.
Moved it. And then you went and got it. You're now in your car and you go home. Not you. You back up the car right in front of her house. And get out of the car, according to you, and is sitting on the trunk, looking for trouble. He pulls out his car. You run up to his car and open up the car door.
He was revving his engine at me. I felt like I was about to get smashed.
I don't care what you feel. I've just given you the objective data. Aside from the fact, sir, that you pled guilty to an attempted assault?
Yes.
Goodbye, Mr. Jeffrey. Your temper cost you $6,500. You're 18 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to be 19 years old? Don't be a jerk. Do you understand?
All right.
That's all.
Please excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
They arrested me when I feel that they should have arrested him. I was basically just trying to defend myself.
I broke up with him, but the whole day he was sending me texts, like completely ignoring it.
The car was in the driveway and she wouldn't answer the door or phone or anything.
Ringing the doorbell persistently for 3 hours.
She told me to come up there, drop her car off and watch a movie.
No, there's no movie involved at all.
Just walk away from things, I guess, cut your losses.